Hello, this is Dr. Charlie. Welcome back to Battle Plan, a podcast focused on spiritual warfare. If you would like to learn more about active faith, I would encourage you to go to active-faith.org. We are working to expel evil, take back the land, and heal the soul all through the Word of God. Today, I would like to talk to you about obedience. We fight warfare with obedience. And you say, how does that happen? Well, disobedience has a price. So sometimes we have to look at the acts of disobedience and their consequences in order to understand the value of obedience and its strength in spiritual warfare. I would like to take you back to a story in the Old Testament. It's one of my favorite stories, and it spans across multiple books of the Bible and multiple generations. Let's start in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 3. Saul is king. He is the first king of the Israelites, and God gives him a directive. In verse 3, he says, go and completely destroy the entire Amalekite nation, men, women, children, babies, cattle, sheep, goats, camels, and donkeys. In other words, everybody, everybody gotta go in the Amalekite nation. So Saul goes down, he battles the Amalekites, he wins. But he didn't kill everybody like he was instructed. If you look in verse 8, it says he, so Saul, captured Agag, the Amalekite king, that completely destroyed everyone else. Now, everyone else is a very loose translation. Technically, there were pockets of the Amalekite group that escaped. And we see that come up again in 1 Samuel 27, chapter 27 and chapter 30. So they kind of end up being like Amalekite thugs, okay, with the Israelites for, you know, some time. But we know that Saul disobeyed. He kept the king. And it was a big deal because when he did, God became very angry. And so Saul suffered a lot of consequences. He lost his anointing as king. He went crazy. He literally began to have mental illness. He began, because he couldn't get direction from God through Samuel, he started going to people in the occult. And so he was spiraling out of control. It was a really bad situation. So even though that's really, really bad, it gets worse. If you look forward in the Bible to the book of Esther, if you've never read it, it's a very beautiful story. We see this whole situation come to the forefront again. If you look in Esther 3, verse 1, it says, sometime later, King Xerxes promoted Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, over all the nobles, making him the most powerful official in the empire. Okay, how can we have an Agagite so far down the road if Saul supposedly killed them all? Okay, so first of all, it wasn't a direct descendant of the king because Samuel killed King Agag back in 1 Samuel. Saul didn't do it, so Samuel the prophet did. However, remember I said that there were those pockets of people that escaped, and we saw that in 1 Samuel 27 and 30. Okay, so we know that there were pockets of people. When you have a very small remnant of your people and the rest have been killed, do you think you might hold a grudge? You're probably going to hold a grudge. You're going to be bitter. You're going to be angry. And it's going to be told generation to generation to generation. We are a very few people. We are a very small people. We are a very weak people because of the Hebrews, because of those Jews. Okay. So then we get to Esther. Esther is promoted to queen, and the king, King Xerxes, does not know that she is a Jew. And while all this is going on, he promotes Haman the Agagite to be the most powerful noble in his kingdom. And or official, he wasn't a noble, but he was an official. And so he had a lot of power. And what do we see happen in the book of Esther? He begins trying to destroy every living Jew, every Hebrew. They are all going to die if Haman can have anything to do with it. And if you just read Esther by itself, you think, why does this guy have it out for the Israelites? About why is he so against Jews? But the truth of the matter is that he is an Agagite, and he is carrying a bitter, bitter morsel for the Jews that has been going on for generations. So you see that when we disobey, not only do we have momentary consequences, but we can have long-term consequences, not for us, but the generations after us. Obedience is really important. You know, James chapter 1, verses 22 to 23 says the evidence of whether one is truly a believer is whether or not they obey the words of Jesus. We have to obey. We have to look at the law. We have to look at the scriptures, and we must obey. It is imperative to make us stronger as believers and stronger to use the weapons of warfare that God has given us to fight the enemy. I hope that this battle plan has encouraged you. I hope that you see obedience different today. I would encourage you to ask the Lord, where am I not being obedient? And how can I be more obedient to your word? Until next time, this is Dr. Charlie.